your eyes to the skies. It's time for Spaced Out on 95 BFM, thanks to the Stardome Observatory and Planetarium.
Hello, David Britton.
Hi, Johnny. How are you?
I'm good, mate. And yourself?
Not too bad.
Hey, Dave.
Oh, big hungry. You got the next record teed up this time, have you?
Do people call you Dave? Are you okay with that? Or should I just keep cruising with the David?
David, probably.
Okay, David it is. Hey, David. How's it going?
Good.
Good to hear from you, mate. What's going on up there in the big old weird darkness that some people say is a blanket with holes punched in it?
Well, we're going to start off somewhere that has both dark and light, and that is Mars. The spacecraft that landed there a while ago called Mars InSight, it's just landed. It doesn't go anywhere. It stays where it is, but it's finding out what's happening inside Mars, earthquakes and so on.
Ooh.
And one of the instruments was to drill a hole down through the soil about a meter and put a probe down at that depth to get different measurements. The problem is, it got about three-quarters of the way out of the housing structure that it has on board, and it didn't go any further.
Oh, no.
So they thought it might have got stuck on a rock, which is a bit
Wait a
shame
minute, it's
because,
a drilling thing.
They designed it so that it would make its way past rocks, it would push past small rocks. And going by what they can see on the surface, there doesn't seem to be many rocks around. So they're a bit...
baffled as to why it would have stopped.
Well, yeah. I mean, they tested it before it went and different types of soils and so on, and it seemed to do fine. So what they're doing now is sort of jiggling it around. It has a little hammer, so it doesn't just drill around it. It moves up and down as well, in a hammer sort of motion.
I'm familiar with this style of drilling.
Well, yeah, I guess so, but not doing it in conditions of Mars. That's the difference.
Now, David, it said that they've had to stop the drill for 3 days to cool down. Does it get
three
that,
Mars days
does it
or
get
Earth
that
days?
Hot? 3 days.
Well, I don't know the technicalities of that. I mean, Mars is basically cold. It doesn't get particularly hot, but it depends what they designed this for. So whether that means there's a malfunction, like I said, if it's not going any deeper, there might be too much friction that's causing a problem. Or it could be that the soil is compacting around the drill as it's moving. Because, I mean, no one has a sample of Mars soil to actually check it with.
Right.
Yes.
So all they can do is guess or try and figure out what it's like from the rovers and so on that are there. But they still haven't physically got any soil here on Earth to check it with, to test it with.
But it is a pretty advanced piece of kit that's over there, Mars InSight, isn't it? Because it only got sent over there last year, so it's 2018 edition of Earth's technology.
We love Mars, as Earth people. We just love Mars, like almost more than Earth. Sometimes it would feel like.
Sometimes I guess that might be right.
Can
yeah.
I hit you with a philosophical vibe, real quickly, David? While I've got you here, and we're talking about Mars. What if NASA put all of their energy and all of their like brain into Earth instead of other places? Would that maybe help us out a little bit?
They put a pretty big amount into Earth observation. They have more Earth observation satellites than they do out in the solar system.
But is that just because of the technology rather than...
Well, no, it's to help us on Earth.
Okay.
Yeah, no, the Earth observation, I mean, climate change and so on, a lot of that data comes from NASA satellites.
Right.
The height of the ocean is measured from satellites.
Right. And problem solving, does that follow through to...
Well, yeah, but I mean, other satellites, they'll observe things like vegetation and so on. That information gets fed back to farmers, to people managing forests and managing...
Tells us that it's bad, and then we just carry on doing the bad
and
stuff.
And dams and so on.
Great.
Yeah, so they do. They have a huge amount for Earth observation. It just doesn't get the same sort of headlines. And
what
I'm concerned with our program here is beyond the Earth, I guess.
Yes, of course.
We could have a whole segment, if you like, on Earth observation.
I think we should. I think we should. I think it's probably worth worth doing that.
Yeah, we'll put that in the diary.
Perfect, perfect.
Now, David, NASA has been sold faulty aluminium by a aluminium or parts manufacturer, and they've blamed some of their recent launch failures on this particular company.
Yeah, I mean, basically it's fraud. This company faked test results. The metals that they provided to not just NASA, but hundreds of customers over nearly a 20-year period. They've really done the dirty on lots of people. The trouble is when you're providing stuff like that to something like a rocket,
wow,
and the bits are on the rocket, the tolerances are so much tighter.
Mm.
So what NASA is saying is that because of what they supplied, the fairing, the nose cone on one of the rockets didn't open properly. It's like a clamshell.
Oh, wow.
And so when it didn't open, the satellite inside couldn't be set up.
Mm.
So that's, you know, $1 billion satellite.
Oh, failure. My gosh.
And it's not just the satellite and the cost of that. I mean, you can get insurance back on a lot of that. But the years of scientific work that went into building that satellite and the infrastructure that would have been dealing with the information from that satellite.
Interesting. Obviously, a lot of maybe potential harm caused everywhere. I mean, imagine a car built badly and, Jesus, it sounds terrible, doesn't it, when you think about the ramifications potentially of that kind of stuff.
Yeah, so they are now barred for any U.S. federal government contracting. Yeah. So.
Okay, but they still
hopefully
make cars
jail.
Just fine. Yeah, but
they're still going. They got around that by paying $46 million to NASA, the parent company. They're now under a new name, and it's not the same company as it was.
So goodness.
Classic.
They've changed their methods and all the rest of it, so they're all supposedly squeaky clean now. But because of the actual fraud itself, U.S. government won't deal with them, which will include NASA, of course.
Yeah. Now, Richard Branson has moved the commercial space flight base of Virgin Galactic down to, New Mexico.
That's right. I mean, they've done all the main development and testing in California in the Mojave Desert. That's where they still will be building what they're going to be sending up to space. But for the customers, they won't launch from there. They'll be launching from New Mexico.
Is that
so
an equator move?
They've built a whole facility there called Spaceport America. And so about 100 employees will relocate there. So they'll do a bunch more testing. And then it could well be as early as July that the first one goes up, which if it is in July, that'll have Richard Branson. He wants to be on the first flight.
Is that move because of the equator? It's a bit closer? Or what's the vibe there? Why did they move?
No, it's just the infrastructure, dealing with lots of customers and so on.
It's a bit cheaper?
Yeah.
Mm.
Well, and yeah.
Now, speaking of something that is not cheap, the 1969 manual that Buzz Aldrin and Neil Armstrong used to fly Apollo 11 to the moon with, this is the instruction manual for the space shuttle
for the moon lander.
For the moon lander.
So, I mean, if you think of the manual for your car,
yes,
it's got quite a few pages, which includes a whole bunch of stuff that the astronauts didn't have to deal with. But this basically tells them what to do to leave, to undock from the mother craft, the main one that stayed in orbit, to go down and land on the surface, and then to come back up into orbit and rendezvous with the Eagle. So that is 44 pages. Okay, it's a ring binder, and by that, it literally is a ring, three metal rings. And that was it. 44 pages described the whole thing. So that's coming up for auction on the 18th of July.
Who's selling it? Whose possession was it in?
It doesn't say who the current owner is. So I don't know. It's just being sold through Christie's.
Yes.
So, yeah, they reckon they'll get about $9 million.
Oh, wow. It's a fairly impressive piece of history to own, isn't it?
Well, absolutely. Absolutely. So it'd be interesting who it goes to. I mean, it might go to a museum or a science centre.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because then more people can see it than just one owner, I hope.
Yeah. For sure. Now, what's coming up at the Stardome? Are we looking toward the night sky right now?
Yeah, well, we've got just Mars in the sky in the west after sunset. It's the only planet directly after sunset, but Jupiter's just sneaking up. Mm-hmm. So within an hour or two after sunset, Jupiter's rising in the east, and it'll get higher and higher as the days go on. So Mars is really, really low and hard to see. Venus mm-hmm. is very bright and easy to see. So look east is what I'd advise after sunset. In the morning sky, you'll have Jupiter right down over in the west and Saturn up high. Mercury's disappeared now, and Venus is really, really low, so Venus is disappearing as well. So back to, you know, just a couple of good ones, Jupiter and Saturn, as far as planets go at the moment.
Okay.
As far as Stardome goes, we've got a few things on. The night sky is on each at Wednesday to Sunday. That is the autumn night sky is on at the moment. So what we see there is the sky from Auckland. So you can see that and then go outside if the sky is clear with the Courtyard telescopes and see for real what has been explained and shown in the planetarium. Of course, if it's a bad night, if it's too cloudy or it's raining, you can get a rain check ticket and come back free of charge to look through the telescope on a better night later on. So that's 8 o'clock Wednesday to Sunday. Those are really valuable. In addition to that, we now have at 9:30 beyond the solar system. So it's like going to the night sky, but we're going to leave the Earth and go out further. So that's at 9:30 Friday and Saturday nights. So it's a trip beyond the solar system. It's presenter-led. It's not a movie. So I mean, if you've got questions to ask you want to take a bit of a detour,
then
the presenter's open to that sort of interaction, absolutely.
Nice, nice.
Yeah, so those are the two sort of observational type ones.
Is no question too silly?
Well, there are actually, but never mind.
That's actually really refreshing to hear from an educator. Like, I think some questions are stupid and should be called out as stupid, and people should know. I think it's important. I think it's important. We can't be wasting time at this point, you know.
So I'd also like to remind people about our Tuesday night specials. Tuesday night tonight is a double feature, Pink Floyd. We've got Wish You Were Here and The Wall. Oof. Includes a glass of wine and snacks for those who are
powerful.
18 years of age. So Tuesday night, rock show, that's got lasers and strobe lighting, special effects, theatrical haze, the whole shebang. So really, really good loud music for those who are into that sort of thing.
Just, David, I know this, you probably can't answer this, but I'm just wondering if punters are kind of getting... Like, what happens there? Do people go as pairs and, like, is there some canoodling going on? Or, like, what's the vibe? People dancing? Or?
Well, there's no dancing, no, because you're in your chairs and
canoodling?
It's pretty dark, so you don't want to be moving around a great deal.
A few get-withs, though, a few nice pashes going on and stuff like that? Like, oh, check it out, babe, I love this track and I love the stars, kind of thing? Or?
I'm bound by privacy, not to mention anything like that, I'm sure.
I love it. Perfect. It's nice and dark at the Stardome. Loud and clear. I feel you. Loud and clear.
Absolutely.
Awesome. Awesome.
All right. Yeah, so I mean, that's each Tuesday there's a rock music show. So just go to the website, stardome.org.nz, check that out. We've got a Facebook page. We're on Twitter as well. So
brilliant.
Plenty of ways to find out or to let us know what you think.
Fantastic, David. Thank you once again from us here at BFM and for giving your time up to do this fine segment. We'll see you at the Stardome Planetarium and Observatory.
Look forward to it.
All right.
Thanks,
mate.
See you
in a couple of weeks.
Bye.
Control, we are docked. That was Spaced Out on 95 BFM, thanks to the Stardome Observatory and Planetarium.
I had to ask.